It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Friday. It is the High Noon Showdown. It is 8.5 minutes past noon, but we're going to still duke it out regardless. We got Adam. We got Andrew on the line. Adam was caller number one. He gets to choose his list. He says, I'm a B student. Bert, put me on list B, baby. Adam, how you doing, man? Welcome into the show.
Excellent. Thanks.
All right. Looking forward to duke it out with Andrew. Adam and Andrew set to duke it out for the High Noon Showdown prize pack. I'm putting in some Twins tickets for the winner, a four-pack of Twins tickets to next weekend's Twins game. So whoever ends up winning, hang on hold. Give me a call back. Just need an MLB.com account. That's free. And give me your email address. So that's what we'll do post-winning, post-losing for the High Noon Showdown. It is time to go to war on overtime. It's the High Noon Showdown, always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats.
That's two. That's far shooter.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
It doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot. Although we'd love to see that, actually. It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
You know, I just realized I have yet to sit down and watch Happy Gilmore 2 with that aforementioned, and you can count. Give me that green jacket. Give me that gold jacket. I don't care. It's time to win big. Adam is on line one, list B. Adam, your first question, my friend, is a jersey number for somebody who is a little bit miffed at his current team. Terry McLaurin just requested a trade from D.C. What jersey number does that wide receiver wear?
That would be
Terry
17.
McLaurin. 17. Ding, ding, ding is correct. Back on hold. You go, Adam, out to a good start. Over to line number two we go, where Andrew has been patiently waiting. Another guy that's not too happy, Micah Parsons. I would not want this guy to be mad at me, Andrew. What jersey number does he wear with the Cowboys?
Number 11.
Number 11 is correct. Andrew, we'll see if you can go for two in a row here. Give me the name of one college that DJ Uiagalelei attended. We saw him last night in the preseason game. DJ Uiagalelei is the name. Where did he go to college? At least one of his college homes. What do you think?
Clemson.
Clemson with the Z is correct. Andrew out to a good start. DJ Uiagalelei, fun name to say. Over to Adam now. On line number one we go. Hendon Hooker. Adam, what was the last college that he attended at the college football level?
Oh.
Hendon Hooker. One-time Minnesota Viking draft crush, Hendon Hooker. What do you think? I need an answer from you.
Alabama.
Alabama is not correct. He attended the University of Tennessee and the swan song of his college career. Adam, let's see if you can get back on the right track. You got to get this one right in order to push it on to overtime, at least have a chance to do that. It is a multiple choice question, or not that. It's got two answers, two correct answers. What team currently holds the best record in the American League of Major League Baseball? There are two teams with identical records. You got to name one of them. What team is it? American League record. Tampa Bay, not correct. Toronto and Detroit, which means we got Andrew as our big winner today. Andrew, congratulations, my friend. You take home the prize pack. Good stuff. We'll see if you can pitch a shutout, though. Best NL record. It's multiple choice because there's one team. Is it the LA Dodgers, the Philadelphia Phillies, or the Milwaukee Brewers? What do you think, Andrew?
I think it's the
Brewers.
The Brewers. Was not a confident suggestion there, but that was the confident, correct answer. Brewers. Andrew, go buy a lottery ticket or something, my friend. You're on fire today. You're the winner of the High Noon Showdown, brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. I'll get you hooked up with your prize pack.
Tickets next weekend
for the Minnesota Twins included. I will be in touch with you. Feel free to call me back either when we go to break or stay on hold. I'll grab your info. You're a big winner with the High Noon Showdown, brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. You can elevate your grill game even further with some great meats and more at Uncle Ed's on the east side of Sioux Falls. Andrew, again, hang on hold or give me a call back at the end of the segment. I'll get you hooked up with those Twins tickets and your prize pack. High Noon Showdown, always a blast each and every Friday on the show. Let's get you ready to rumble with your headlines and highlights of the day. Still to come, latest from the NFL, bad news for touchdown Terry, scary Terry McLaurin, and Micah Parsons. In the NFL, Major League Baseball post-deadline reset, your latest odds, what the heck's going on with the Twins, what's next for Minnesota, where do you go from here, is it going to be any butts in the seats the rest of the way at Target Field, we'll wait and see, but the team definitely reformed, reshaped, and not inspiring a lot of confidence for a strong finish to at least 2025. That coming up soon. Good, the bad, the ugly to round out this Friday edition of Overtime. Let's dive right into the scorecard. Three games did take place in Major League Baseball yesterday. You couldn't hear any of them due to the screams of Twins fans throughout yesterday, but the Yankees won over the Tampa Bay Rays 7-4, Atlanta in extras over the Reds 12-11 in Cincy, and Texas was blanked on the road in Seattle 6-0. We played this in hour number one. We'll play it again for you right now. Derek Falvey, the president of baseball operations for the Twins, a lengthy rationale for the moves, explaining it to the fans and what they're trying to do with the roster and the organization moving forward. Here's Derek Falvey, courtesy of ABC 5.
To the fan base that might not be taking this well as a whole.
Yeah, Chris, it's a totally fair question, and I have a tremendous amount of empathy for it. I, you know, at my core, I'm a fan, and I'm a fan of these guys, and I'm a fan of watching Twins baseball every day because I get the luxury to do it every single day. And it's not lost on me that it's hard when players go away that have been part of this organization. I'll never forget, you know, conversations with Eduardo Escobar and trading him away that day and the pain and, you know, difficulty of that and his emotion in that. It was an early one for me here that was a significant one because of what he meant to this fan base and to this team. You know, and at the time there was a young pitcher in that group, you know, that we brought back that nobody knew about. And it was Joan Duran a few years later. And then, you know, telling Nelson Cruz that we had to, and we weren't in as good a place in the moment, but we cared about him and we felt like we were going to land him in a great spot in Tampa. And we were going to, you know, put him in a good place to maybe give himself a chance to compete that fall. And Joe Ryan comes back in that deal and, you know, is a big part of our future and our current. Those are hard things. And as part of a small to mid-market baseball team, that's just the realities of, you know, the way this works. There are trades that happen. That happens across baseball. I'm not saying that's unique to Minnesota and it's hard, but it's about making sure that you're constantly trying to find a way to not just sit on your heels, hope that it all goes better, and keep your fingers crossed. It's a way to actually kind of go invest in the future of the team, hopefully the short term and the long term. And I think our fans are going to love these guys when they get up here because they all bring, they're all high character guys. They're all guys with tremendous talent and impact. And yeah, there's a lot of talent still left in that clubhouse. I mean, I look at that roster. I called Byron Buxton earlier today and we haven't talked about him at all and just made sure he knew, you know, where we felt about this team. But when you roll Byron Buxton and Royce Lewis out and you can lead staffs with Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan, I think you're going to be in a pretty good place. You're going to play some fun baseball games. There's a lot of talent that's about to join them over the next few years.
And certainly that's an optimistic approach from Derek Falvey, the president of baseball operations with the Minnesota Twins. A lot of that on deaf ears for the fans that are saying, you just did this to dump some salary, make it more attractive. Salary dump very common for these mid-market teams in Major League Baseball. Pretty tough stuff, frankly, yesterday. You got a feel for Twins fans from sea to shining sea because they let go of 10 players this week for Minnesota. Certainly a ton. No longer a member of the organization. A lot of big names. Duran as well as Carlos Correa off the squad. A lot of likable youngsters. Louis Varland, one of those guys who was here in Sioux Falls. All the best to him and his next journey out in Toronto. Really tough day because in baseball, more so than any other sport, football, basketball, what have you, you can really change your roster in a hurry. Basketball, you can as well. You see people add pieces here and there, what have you. But in baseball, it leaves nothing to be desired in terms of the trade deadline. Every year we talk about who's buying, who's selling. And typically when you're selling, You're selling down the river here and selling a future to get a more enhanced future, better farm system, what have you. And then these top teams like the Phillies, who Minnesota Twins hold a ton of their farm system from last week into their farm system now. The future is bright for Minnesota, but that's not what fans want. Fans want to be entertained. They want the names. They want to win. And the AL Central feels like a division over the last 3-5 years that is very winnable. And this has been a missed opportunity for Minnesota. And now they go from a middling team, middle of the division, to maybe in that same bucket with the White Sox. I hate to say that, but Chicago's been so dang bad. They've sold at a lot of deadlines recently, sold a lot of players recently, ticked off a lot of their fans. Minnesota doing that yesterday, frankly, I understand the positive approach to this. I understand you just wait and see, but just like they say in Moneyball, you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know if they're good or bad. You can't say that, and that goes both ways. You can say, oh, this guy stinks. He's awful. Hey, look at his ERA. You don't know that he's actually a bad baseball player. We'll wait and see that. But on the other edge, you can't say, look at all these prospects we got. Look at all these draft picks we got, because we know one thing about draft picks. We don't really know. Mel Kiper doesn't know. Buster Olney doesn't know. We don't know what these guys are, who these guys are, how they fit, how long they'll fit. But Minnesota certainly is punting down the road to 2026, 2027. I don't know. The next time we'll be talking about the Twins in the playoffs, but it feels like that got a lot further away yesterday than it was just the day prior. That's the latest from Major League Baseball. Hall of Fame game last night took place to kick off the NFL football season, and it was all Chargers. 34-7, the victory over the Lions. Jim Harbaugh, big fan of Trey Lance, and he tossed 2 touchdown passes last night.
Yeah, it's just Trey. I mean, he hasn't had enough game action, you know, and just wanted to give him that. That was the game plan, you know, get out there and play him. He's been playing good, and you know, college. Not as much as most guys have coming out of college in terms of starts and games, and then he gets into pro ball and, you know, wins a starting job and then gets hurt, and so he hasn't had a lot of game experience, and that's what we're trying to give him, and he acquitted himself well.
And that's Jim Harbaugh following a win for the Chargers 34-7. The Lions obviously leave a lot to be desired. Head coach Dan Campbell postgame.
All right, first one out of the gate. You know, the story of the game is we turned it over 5 times and then we didn't get any takeaways. So that's hard, you know. Just from that standpoint, when you put your defense in that kind of position, that's tough. We did have 2 sudden change stops, which is really good defensively. You know, I thought we handled the run pretty good. You know, there was a couple runs that kicked out of there, but I mean, really they rushed for 2.8. So that's pretty good. I mean, we held in there. You know, and then offensively, like we said, it's hard to get in a rhythm when you turn the ball over like that, or you're getting ready to start a drive and we kick off return, punt return. So just that was kind of the nature of it. We're excited to watch some of these guys, see how they did, grade the tape, learn from it, grow from it. That's what it's about.
Certainly is true. And for the Detroit Lions, that was a bad loss, but it is preseason. It's the Hall of Fame game. They got 3 preseason games left to figure it out, but certainly a lot to be desired, particularly at that backup quarterback position. Kyle Allen, couple bonehead mistakes. Hendon Hooker, very limited in terms of the number of passes he attempted last night. Lions with 3 more games left and plenty of time to figure it out. News from the NFL, Mike Tannenbaum responding to Terry McLaurin's trade request and what he would say to the receiver.
Terry McLaurin's going nowhere. The reality is, it's like, Terry, like, you're a commander. Like, you're under contract. And we're really hoping to give you more money. And if it's not enough, play it out. But you're not going anywhere. And if you look at Josh Harris's DNA, going back to all the other teams he owns, and basically a front office and head coach who have batted 1,000 since they've been there, why are they going to trade Terry McLaurin? Like, you can't please everybody in every situation, so you can't just indiscriminately say, oh, okay, you can leave on August 1st when you have a good team and he's a great player.
And Terry McLaurin is a great player. The Commanders have cap space. They need to pay him. They need to lock him up and say, Terry, we want you to be a Washington Commander for life. We want your name up on this placard in the stands. We'll wait and see what it's going to be. But Terry McLaurin, talk about negotiating from a position of strength. That's exactly what he's doing. He's done things the right way. He's been Mr. Consistent, Mr. Reliable, hasn't missed a game, and has put 1,000-yard seasons up. year after year after year after year, and by far and away, the best offensive player not named Jaden Daniels on that Commanders roster. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the coaching rankings that are out, and it always pains me to tell you when the Minnesota Vikings are getting some love and talk about some serious love here. They have the Minnesota Vikings as having the best coaching staff in the NFL. Do I agree? Heck no, I don't. How about you win a playoff game first? But vitriol, hate coming out here from this Packer fan. I think they're top five, but top one for Minnesota feels crazy. But let's talk about the other coaching staff lines of demarcation. Matt LaFleur, Nick Sirianni, Chris Canty says he's got more respect for the former.
This is somebody that the organization was on the fence on before last season on whether or not they were going to fire his ass. So I'm not going to sit here and crown Nick Sirianni because they went on a magic carpet ride run. I'm not going to do it. Listen, everybody wanted to line up and crown Doug Peterson. They ran his ass out of town a few years after he won the chip. And that was the Eagles' first Super Bowl title. So I'm not going to crown him. Conversely, what Matt LaFleur has done, what I've seen in Green Bay, transitioning from a legendary quarterback in Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love and keeping that succession of 30-plus years of outstanding quarterback play going in Green Bay is impressive. So, yeah, I got a bank full of respect for Matt LaFleur in terms of his program building. A ton of it.
Ton of respect as well. I think Matt LaFleur is a great coach. I don't think he's proven himself to be an elite coach yet by any means, but that brought a smile to my face, by the way. Canty talking about, you want to crown him, crown him. Which reminds me of the old Denny Green. I love that. That's one of my favorite rants of all time. But the Bears are who we thought they were. Love that stuff. Electric football game. Devin Hester, Brian Urlacher, Mike Brown. All defense. Sexy Rexy turning it over six times in a win. Heck of a night, Arizona and Chicago back in the day. Let's talk a little bit further here about scary Terry McLaurin, Chris Canty going to bat for the Commanders, needing to pony up and pay up their star receiver.
I don't understand why you don't want to pay this guy. See, sometimes these organizations, these front offices, they can operate in these negotiations with a tad bit of hubris. And it feels like that's what's happening with Adam Peters right now. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you in sports and in life is to have success early on because you think you know it all. And you try to hardline every single negotiation. You try to win every deal. Here's the thing that every successful business person knows. You can't win every deal. Every contract negotiation ain't gonna be a deal. Sometimes it's just getting the contract signed. And in this instance, that's exactly what needs to happen with Terry McLaurin because he means so much to Jaden Daniels' development.
And again, that's the latest on Terry McLaurin. I'm going back, though, to that Cardinals game, Cardinals-Bears. I hope that you watched it out there because that was one of the more unique games in NFL history and was all the way back in 2006. I know it's not on this day in sports history, but I'm going to be honest with you, transparent here. Of course, I was playing fantasy football back then. I was 16 years old, and I don't know if you remember this. You're going to call me crazy, but Rex Grossman was my starting fantasy football quarterback because I had other options, but Sexy Rexy was out to a tremendous start to that year. It was not an MVP caliber year, but he was tossing touchdowns left and right and over the field, and it was awesome in Chicago. And in that ball game, the Bears got down so darn big. They were down 23-3 with a minute to go in the third quarter. With 2 seconds to go, frankly, in the third quarter, they were up down 23-3 and won the game. I started Rex Grossman. I had the lead in fantasy football, and this is the line Rex Grossman put up that night to lose me the game. He was 14 of 37 for 144 yards, no touchdowns, four interceptions, and two fumbles lost. Absolute ineptitude from Rex Grossman. And if you remember that season for Rex Grossman, you remember that everything came off the rails for him then as he continued to try to buoy that great Bears team. Rex Grossman, not much better down the rest of the way, was okay throughout that year, very short tenure with those Bears. But yeah, I will never forget that game. Devin Hester, the walkaway, and then the legendary meltdown from Denny Green as the head coach of the Cardinals that night. Round out the scorecard now. NASCAR race at Iowa Sunday, 2:30 on USA over the weekend. Action will continue from the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina through Sunday. And tonight in the WNBA, pair of big games. Mercury at the Dream, 6:30. Fever at the Wings, also a 6:30 go time. Let's get a break knocked out here. Come back with the latest from the NFL. More on Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons. Is that bridge burned? Damning details coming out in those contract negotiations, those lack of contract negotiations getting pretty darn I don't know, ugly? Good way to describe it, between Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys. And, of course, we're going to dive into those coach rankings where the Minnesota Vikings somehow, some way, have the best coaching staff in the NFL, according to ESPN.com. I vehemently disagree. And we'll fire up the debate cannons next on Overtime.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Back with you, making our way through hour number two on this Friday, August 1st edition of Overtime. Yes, pretty darn soon we'll have some more prize pack to give away before too long as we continue to make our way through the fall portion of the sports calendar. Football season around the corner, the return of Burt's Bank, as bad as that is. Also locking up Lee Sterling, the Paramount Sports. Lee Sterling will be joining us same time as last year, Fridays at 12:45. For best bets for your weekend and everything else taking shape too. Conversations with Coach Johansson at USD, Coach Dan Jackson up in Brookings. Also the para coaches here, Coach Glagowski at USF, Coach Olszewski at Augustana. You can rest assured we're going to have you covered week over week over week of the college football season, pro football season, and the intersection of the two here on Overtime as our calendar and schedule takes a little bit of a different shape into the month of August and September. Now, NFL news to get to. Dallas Cowboys are not good at this game in terms of rewarding their players, respecting their players, respecting their timelines, their abilities. Diana Rossini on Twitter of ESPN says, breaking news as of 2 hours ago. Interesting. The Micah Parsons Cowboys relationship has deteriorated to the point where the star pass rusher is considering drastic measures, which could include a trade request or even a declaration that he is severing his relationship with the team, according to multiple league sources familiar with the situation. Two sides remain far apart in heading into the second week of training camp and are currently not negotiating. Rossini, not of ESPN, excuse me. She's of The Athletic and the New York Times. You can find her on Twitter at DM Rossini. But that's awful news for Dallas. It pains me that Dallas is having these unfortunate situations. But somehow, some way, it's a little bit of schadenfreude in the fact that they brought this upon themselves. They brought the contract number upon themselves. If they're looking at Micah honestly and candidly and saying, oh, you know that contract that T.J. Watt just got out there in Pittsburgh? Yeah, you know, that is what it is. But we think you're worth more around this here, Micah. Or, hey, you know that contract that this guy signed in between the time where we started negotiating 115 years ago and now? That doesn't matter either. We think we need to get you around this number, Micah. It's not good business what Dallas is doing. In fact, dragging it all the way out to the 11th hour in any measure of life is not good. Nobody loves to procrastinate. Nobody loves to be late. Nobody does that intentionally. Maybe my wife does from time to time. But regardless, Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys, I'm on Team Micah here all the way, and this is not a good look there. And in the same division, Terry McLaurin has officially requested a trade. I'm not taking that immensely serious because I do feel like DC has their head screwed on straight lately as a front office. They're not going to let him get out of house. They don't really have a whole lot of other options at receiver on that roster that are going to be game breaker, game changer guys anymore. Love Debo, but that time it may have passed for him in his career after he had a lot of tread scraped off the tires, running back reps, slot receiver, blocking reps, injuries galore for Debo. We'll see what he is in DC, but I don't think he's an alpha like Terry is. So that's the latest on those two contract situations for now. And let's get into this interesting article at ESPN.com. Coaching rankings league-wide. And this is not just head coach. If it was head coach, the short list would be Andy Reid, John Harbaugh. You could also put in Mike Tomlin in that conversation, other guys as well. Kyle Shanahan probably going to get some love. But the overall coaching rankings, meaning offense coordinator, defense coordinator, special teams coordinator, and of course, the head coach of the NFL teams nearest to you, worst coaching staff in the NFL, according to this at ESPN.com, is the New York Giants. Hard to disagree with that. I did say earlier we were previewing their season. Brian Daboll, one of those coaches that probably should have been fired after last year. Probably would have fired Joe Shane as well for what they did and didn't do around the Saquon situation and everything else. And of course, my internet is timing out right now when I'm talking about this, but I do have a pretty good memory still on this 34-year-old brain of mine. So the top 10-ish here, Green Bay finishes outside. They're at number 10. Matt LaFleur, head coach, OC Adam Stenovich, DC Jeff Hafley, pretty darn good DC at that after 1 year in-house. Green Bay coming in at number 10. The Las Vegas Raiders, which I don't agree with either. I like Pete Carroll, like Chip Kelly, like Patrick Graham, but for them to be in the top 10 at number 9 just because of the name recognition is lost on me. We don't know what Chip Kelly's going to be in the NFL. We do know what Pete Carroll is, who Pete Carroll is, but is it going to jive? Is it going to gel in Vegas with him and the swan song of his career? I'm not so sure. So Vegas at number 9. And as we make our way down, ESPN.com having all sorts of trouble today in terms of refresh rate and things of that nature. But the nuts and bolts of this for you Viking fans out there, and you can yell at me if you want to. You might agree with me, and I would call you a realist if you did. The Minnesota Vikings have the top-ranked coaching staff in the National Football League, according to this article. That's right. Kevin O'Connell, the OC there, Wes Phillips, and the DC Brian Flores. Here's what the article had to say. When I ranked the Vikings in this exercise last year, I sang the praises of Flores, the DC, who had done the most with the least in 2023. But I wondered if O'Connell, another branch off the McVay-Shanahan tree, could innovate and evolve beyond the tried-and-true system he had run with Kirk Cousins. What could he offer a younger quarterback in need of development? We didn't see that, but certainly we did see a younger quarterback in Sam Darnold. And now they're going to put Minnesota at number one coaching staff in the NFL, ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs, who are number one, no doubt about it. KC is number one. You can't change my mind on that. They've won multiple Super Bowls. They're not going anywhere. And Andy Reid has been around the NFL for such a long time and has never lost his luster. I've got a picture here of the Super Bowl 31 champions that a more svelte, skinnier Andy Reid, still a biscuit shy of 300 pounds, is in the bottom left of this photo with the Green Bay Packers. That's how long he's been around the league, 1996, 1995, before that as a coordinator elsewhere. But Andy Reid is the best coach in the NFL, and he's got the best coaching staff in the NFL as well. So I do have the Minnesota Vikings highly regarded, but not number one. Number three is San Francisco, number four, Baltimore, and number five, the LA Rams. You can't find an argument for me there. Rounding out the top 10, Broncos, Bills. You also have the Raiders and the Packers in that list. And again, internet problems galore. We'll find number eight at some point, but the Minnesota Vikings have the number one coaching staff in the NFL. I don't agree. I'm sorry. I am a hater, but I'm not that much of a hater to say they're outside of the top five, but Minnesota at number one for me feels pretty darn rich for a staff that, yes, you know I'm going to go there, has yet to win a Super Bowl, has yet to win a playoff game. I need to see a little bit more. I think KOC is great. Great head coach. I'm jealous. I love Matt LaFleur. Think he's going in the right direction as well. But Kevin O'Connell, really rock solid young coach in his own right. Top five, yes. Top one, heck no for Minnesota. Fight with me later. 605-362-3776. Always the number to dial. When we come back, Major League Baseball post-deadline reset, a look at the odds, and what the heck is ahead for the Minnesota Twins. Who do they get? What are some of the big names in the farm system that we can look forward to in the near future? That coming up next on Overtime.
Stream us online. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
More baseball talk now on this Friday, August 1st edition of Overtime. A reminder, we already have double digits in for the Friday parlay over the weekend. You can find that on Twitter at ESPN Sioux Falls. You got to be following us to win. All you got to do is hit that follow button, enter every single Friday, and you could win big courtesy of high-end glass and tobacco and all of our great prizes here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Friday Parlay is an internet-exclusive contest on Twitter, x.com, twitter.com. Enter, give us a follow, and you could win big over the weekend. The Minnesota Twins are not going to win big anytime soon. That is the obvious fact after yesterday's absolute dumpster fire, fire sale, whatever you want to call it. Minnesota shipped off a total of 10 Major League Baseball players. These are guys that currently wear the Minnesota Twins uniform, not St. Paul, not the other minor league farm system guys. This is Twins baseball, guys that we saw last week, 3 days ago, 5 days ago in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, on the road with the team and in the clubhouse. And Minnesota traded away all sorts of players, and it started with Chris Paddock, Randy Dobnak, and then we saw Yoan Duran traded away yesterday, and boom, 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 boom. I do not have a less enviable job yesterday. You could pay me to do a lot of other things than to be the Minnesota Twins social media manager, because every single time they get something posted, a nice graphic, thank you so much for being a part of the team. We're going to miss you. Boom, posted. Hey, ring-a-ding-ding. We were trading this guy too. Do another thing just like that. Really like that. Good work. Keep it up. They did that nine times yesterday, nine different deals, 10 players off the team. So Duran traded to Philly. They get two top prospects in Philly's farm system, according to Philadelphia, two of the top six. Eduardo Tate, a catcher. Mick Abel, a right-handed pitcher. That was trade number one of the flurry of trades. Again, Chris Paddock's deal a couple days prior. So Duran got the cool graphic, and then we went into a trade in chronological order, according to Twins Twitter, Harrison Bader joining Philly. They also got the number 12 prospect in the farm system, Henry Mendez, an outfielder, and Jeremy Valoria, right-handed pitcher. I believe that's the Venezuela native. They landed in that deal. Then they traded with the Dodgers, sending Brock Stewart, a marquee reliever, outside of Duran. Who the heck's going to be in the bullpen? Good question. Thanks for asking. They landed outfielder James Outman, 28-year-old, likely to be in the starting lineup coming up today and tonight for Minnesota. Brock Stewart to the Dodgers. Danny Colom, lefty, went to the Texas Rangers in exchange for another lefty, Garrett Horn. And then the big one, the sad one, the one that's not going to be remembered fondly, kindly at all, is Carlos Correa going right back. He'll turn to the Houston Astros, waving a no-trade clause to get up out of here. And Minnesota sent a few Brinks trucks, bags of cash with Carlos Correa. The report early is $33 million and Correa for some guy named Matt Mikulski, left-handed pitcher. So Minnesota, if you're keeping score at home, has gotten all minor leaguers in exchange for real ball players as of yesterday. Salary dump there, $33 million. Then they trade Louis Varland and Ty France. France just a new member of the team. Varland been around a few years, right-handed pitcher. France a first baseman and a guy that has been a spark plug early on in the season. Faded a little bit lately, but France again is off the squad heading to Toronto. Exchange for Toronto's number 5 prospect, Kendry Rojas, who's a lefty, and Alan Roden, an outfielder. So if you're looking for positives, Minnesota did accumulate a lot of arms, lefties in particular, at the deadline. Then the trades kept on coming. They sent Griffin Jacks, a starting pitcher, righty, down to Tampa Bay in exchange for right-handed pitcher Taj Bradley. And moving forward, the Cubbies got in on it, picking up utility do-it-all guy Willie Castro in exchange for Chicago's 8th-ranked prospect Ryan Gallagher, right-handed pitcher, and another righty coming over in Sam Armstrong. And that was it for the Minnesota Twins moves yesterday. Again, 9 total trades, 10 total players no longer on the Minnesota Twins as of today. And yes, you have every right to have screamed and continued to scream if you're a Twins fan hoping for competitive baseball, hoping for 2025, 2026. This might take a while for Minnesota to get the wheels turning under them. Still have some good players and Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez. I'm still a Zebby Matthews fan, still a Simeon Wood Richardson fan. And then Byron Buxton is kind of the stalwart in the lineup in terms of guys that you know, guys that the league knows for Minnesota. But when the lead story on ESPN.com is what the heck happened with the Minnesota Twins, you know you aren't doing too great. Big salary dump yesterday, wiping of the slate. And Minnesota, regardless of all the commentary and all the hopeful nature of things to come, you can rest assured that they're punting to 2026, 2027, 2028, and beyond. Minnesota hopefully found some gems here in the coffers of other teams' farm systems, including Philly. They got 3 of their top 12 prospects there. Chicago, they got a top 10 guy. We'll see. Frankly, that's all we can do. For you fans of the Minnesota Twins out there, wait and see what happens next with Minnesota. Still some good players, probably not good enough to compete for a division playoff spot in the near term, but maybe they got some diamonds in the rough in these deals and definitely saved a lot of money, which could spur a transition to new ownership. Now, AL Central odds. Minnesota still somehow is on the odds list here. Chicago is not. Detroit minus 4,000, Cleveland plus 3,000, Kansas City plus 4,500, and Minnesota all the way back in fourth plus 7,000 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook. And lastly, a look at your World Series odds in the second half. The Dodgers still the team to beat, and a massive, massive gap has developed. Dodgers plus 285, Phillies plus 800, Tigers plus 800 as well, Yankees plus 850, Mets plus 850, and then rounding out the top 10 in order, Astros, Cubs, Blue Jays, Mariners, Brewers. Minnesota should be relatively off the board. I know I'm being pessimistic here, but I think you're joining me on this Dark Friday after Black Thursday, as we're going to know it in lore for Minnesota Twins fans out there. Twins are all the way down, I don't know, 22nd, 23rd in the odds, plus 17,000 right now for the World Series this year. Going to be honest, save your money. Not going to happen for Minnesota in 2025. Let's take a break, come back as we round out the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's coming up next on this Friday edition of Overtime.
A moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up the day and the week and kick off the month of August here on Overtime. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get right to it. Good news first. Big news from Major League Baseball. And baseball is heading to the Windy City and Wrigley Field for the 2027 All-Star Game. That announcement made this morning by the commissioner and Major League Baseball. That's right. Wrigley Field and the Cubs will host the All-Star Game as soon as 2027. Big news for baseball. Exciting news ahead for the city of Chicago. One of the more iconic sports venues in any league, in any city, is Wrigley Field. That'll be pretty darn sweet to watch in person for the 2027 All-Star Game. Now, this, as we round out the good, the bad, the ugly, is everything wrapped into one. It was good, it was bad, and it is certainly has been ugly. Start to the career for quarterback Bryce Young of the Carolina Panthers. He won't have to wait long for his first taste of game action this year. According to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com, head coach Dave Canales said at training camp today that Bryce Young will play in each of the team's first two preseason games. And he said that it will also be the case for the other Panthers starters. It's predominantly a pretty young team, and I just can't pass up the opportunity. The reps in game are valuable, but I think it goes to the night before when you guys know they're going to go out there. When guys know they're going to go out there, they have to make a decision to play football. Panthers open up the preseason against the Browns next Friday and will be in Houston on August 16th. And I love this. The ugly and the bad here is obviously the fact that the Panthers and other teams don't do this more often. But when you're a young team like the Titans are, or the Panthers in this case, even the New York Jets and other teams that are looking to find out, the Saints should be doing this and follow suit. Why not give your guy, I mean, even go to bat for the Minnesota Vikings? I don't know how much J.J. McCarthy will play, if at all, this year. We argued the precedent of it with Dustin Baker, and his defense was, well, they did the same with Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins, and I understand that. But those guys also had something that J.J. McCarthy doesn't, which is experience and game reps. And I know Darnold was not really particularly good to great before he got to Minnesota, and he took off running. That's fine. But J.J. McCarthy, for me, needs every rep he can get. I'm not saying all three games. I'm not saying full games. But give him a quarter. Give him a drive or two in every single game, or maybe the first two. Be pretty heavy about it and say, prepare like a pro. We're going to go try to win the game. We're keeping score. We are playing for real here. I'm going to give you your weapons or some top-tier guys. go to work. You need this. We need to take our lumps. We need to take our hits. We need to figure out the speed of the game that's not going against the Vikings in practice. I think this is a big good for those Carolina Panthers and a wise move for a team that really has nothing to lose. What's the worst that can happen for the Carolina Panthers? You stink? Your quarterback gets hurt? You stink some more? I don't know. I would do this every single year if I were a team that didn't have playoff aspirations, didn't have a playoff realistic path. Love this from head coach Dave Canales down in Charlotte. That is our show. That is our week of the show. Thanks so much for joining us as always here on Overtime. We appreciate it immensely. You can always weigh in on the program at ESPN Sioux Falls on Twitter or via the ESPN hotline at 605-362-3776. Next week on the show, we're going to make some ones and twos of the Minnesota Twins, talk some Vikings on Vikings Thursday, talk some more high school football previews and more on the way. We'll talk to you then when the next edition of Overtime rolls back around right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Have a great weekend, everyone.